the bar says recording, Mark, and the sound might be fuzzy, but by golly, it is a recording night. We have two chapters to cover, and they ain't going to talk about themselves.
Is the episode called Technical Difficulties?
My life is called that right now, Mark. Oh my
goodness. I feel
golly
that.
Gosh, oh no. What's up, Hero fans? My name's Luke and I am here to welcome you to Hero Notes. Perhaps sounding slightly different due to last minute audio technical difficulties, but we're going to roll with it because that's the plus ultra way of doing things. And it is, of course, the My Hero Academia Recap Podcast, the podcast that aims to go beyond and recap all the chapters from the My Hero Academia manga by Koei Horikoshi. And on this week's episode, we are continuing our coverage of Volume 17 as it's all hands on deck. Did you see what I did there? Because the villain has a lot of hands, Mark. I'm not talking about Shigaraki. I'm talking about Overhaul. He's got some right hand men helping him, or at least one man with multiple hands and hands.
Are you saying that he's very handy?
I mean, he's handy in a fight. He's going to be a handful to cover tonight, is what I'm saying. Oh my good golly gosh.
And I'll hand it to him for being my least favorite villain so far in the series.
I really just want to hand him over to the authorities so we can be done with this nonsense. Oh good golly gosh. Yes, but in case you didn't know, it is, of course, with me tonight to handle all of this, my friend and co-host extraordinaire, Batman Beyond Mark. Yo, what up?
Yo.
Yo, yo. So, we've got no housekeeping. It's spick and span. The place is clean. You know, we've been having emails and the likes for a couple of weeks now, so it's actually slightly refreshing to just have a clean slate for once. And it allows us to just really, really hop right into the experience right now, because we have another two chapters, of course.
Don't you mean vault right in? Incorporating hands, because you use hands for vaulting. Okay.
I'm just thinking of Fallout right now, and that's putting me in a bad mood.
No. Fallout 76. No, I was talking about like literally any type of vault.
Sports?
In sports, yeah.
What's that? My Hero Academia, chapter 154, Unforeseen Hope. Unforeseen hands.
Unforeseen hope. That's hilarious.
You know, that's what this whole arc is right now, apparently. Written and drawn by Koei Horikoshi, and it was first published in Weekly Shonen Jump issue 44 in 2017. Oh my goodness. And we open, and the party just keeps on coming. We have four-armed Overhaul man here.
And did you know that he's in a really bad mood?
He's in a real bad mood, but apparently things are looking up now because he has multiple arms, apparently. He doesn't look as scary as he did last week. I don't know. Maybe it's
it was definitely the angle.
Yes, and the whole bird beak scary face thing. You can't really see it here. But we do get some internal thinking. Oh, of course we do. And it's Midoriya.
But this is, just to be clear, this internal thinking, it's just the words. There's no box around it. I mean, I guess there's like a white highlight around it so that you can read it, but it's not like there's a box. It's not thought bubbles. They're just floating words. Just to make that clear for when it becomes less clear later.
We should point out it's the usual format for this internal monologue thinking text.
Debatable. We've had thought bubbles.
We've had that many formats, and we're going to have more in these two chapters. So, we get Midoriya, and he's thinking that he has to get a read on this situation. Eri and Mirio are safe for now. Nine-Eye is protecting them. But for how long? But Aizawa Sensei, he is missing. And the guy in the white hood, too. Where did they go? And then Overhaul is apparently he's healed himself up and he's fused with his underling, and that is how he healed himself up. Midoriya is thinking. But Overhaul says that he is a clean freak. When someone touches him, he tends to lose it, and he's never been pushed this far before. And then he says that he feels sorry for Lemillion, because if Lemillion had never got involved with Eri and little old me, referring to himself, then he wouldn't have lost his quirk forever, and he could have gone on infected by his worthless dreams. And then everybody kind of gets shocked reaction. Well, we get two shocked reactions, and Eri, poor Eri, crying, and then Mirio going through it at the bottom, I suppose. And Midoriya looks really concerned here, and he
has a second shocked reaction.
Like, but this is shocked times two now, and he's thinking, Mirio has lost his quirk forever? Question mark explanation point. Oh no! And then Overhaul gets ready for the big discus throwing.
He picks up
yes.
The remaining bullets in the case and puts them in his pocket. I'm also guessing this is the same pocket that he has the serum in. You know, that thing that will be that was mentioned once and then has been completely forgotten about. And he continues like, you continue to struggle even without it. Well, this is your reward for all of your effort. And then he just all four hands on the ground and starts destroying the ground and attacking. He's like, your friends are all gonna die now, and it's all thanks to you. And we see just a reaction shot from Night Eye as he's holding up Lemillion and Eri. And Lemillion's thinking, no way, he can't. He can use his quirk even with his lackey's hands. And they're not really lackey's hands. I mean, they're lackey's. It's his lackey's now made into hands. It's a bit different. And then Midoriya just comes in with a kick. He just comes in with a kick. It stops it. There's some damage that happens. He jumps away. He grabs like a spike. He thinks to himself the flashback of the next time for sure we'll save her. We'll save Eri. Thinking about that with Mirio, and now he's thinking Mirio as he's now over Overhaul with one of the pillars, and he attempts to impale his head, which doesn't work because Overhaul grabs it with one of his arms. And he just gives a really stern, upset look. Uh-oh. And then Midoriya is just like behind him now in the air still. I guess he's coming in at an angle, so that could make sense.
You kind of see the lightning kind of as if it's curved around, but that is a bit of a...
it's not impossible. It could just be we're not seeing all of it. And then we see Overhaul moving his arm up, and then all of a sudden he's just able to create rock out of his hand. Maybe there was some dust on it, and he just attacks Midoriya with like pillars of rocks. And Midoriya thinks to himself like, I couldn't see that one coming. I would have been, you know, skewered if not for like these iron boots or these iron soles in the boots. So not only did he heal himself, but he also got his stamina back. And Overhaul's just pissed. He's like, is strength and speed all you got? And then he just gets hit by like a hyper beam
out of nowhere,
which is apparently just one of the seals. But here it absolutely looks like he just got hit by a beam of freaking energy. And then Night Eye is like, I'll take him on, take care of Lemillion Eri. And Overhaul's like, you don't stand a chance. And then he just Night Eye just throws more of the stamps or his seals. And I guess he's either dodging them or they're doing damage. Not entirely sure. But he thinks to himself, limit his attack options while closing the gap. That way he can't alter the terrain again.
See, that is clever tactics. Well,
actually, he's saying that to Midoriya out loud.
Oh,
even though those are not word bubbles. Because Midoriya responds with, oh, no, he's saying got it to the other thing. No, he's thinking that, and Midoriya says got it. Okay, that's just not great layouts in me trying to understand what's going on. And then we get a quick little flashback to a couple minutes ago where they're running down the hallway. Like we saw them last chapter. This might have been better to put then, but whatever. Aizawa's like, once we catch up with Overhaul, I'll erase his quirk, analyze the situation, then saying also to Midoriya, analyze the situation and react accordingly. Don't go overboard. And is this him thinking Midoriya, we sure... We can't be sure what will happen, but be sure you don't incapacitate yourself. Is he thinking that, or is he saying that? Because the irony here is if he had, and I know that this goes against like their first lesson, don't do this stuff indoors, but this is the one time where if he had just gone 100% indoors, everything would have been better. Like, literally everything in the situation would have been better. Like, I know you can't plan for that, but it's just hindsight being what it is. It's like, him going 100% destroying an arm or a leg would have stopped all of this.
But his doctors wouldn't have been happy, Mark. Oh.
No, but I don't know. In hindsight, Aaron would have conveniently been there in time to heal him and fix Mirio. But that's really more hindsight in 2020.
You know,
but like, I can't blame the characters for not knowing that, but it sure feels like, huh, if he had just been like, I'm just going to do this because, dear God, we're in trouble, and if I don't, we're all dead, and it becomes really more of a...
Desperate times.
Well, a use it or lose it, like, either I use this right now, and we stand a chance of living, or I don't, and all of us die. I don't know. At that point, it seems like, well, might as well. But then... Night Eye just kind of like, I don't know, that doesn't seem really how you throw, but whatever. I don't know, the speed line seemed like it's going away, but...
Logic steps.
He's thrown another seal, he's like, what did you do with Eraser? And where's your right-hand man? Overhaul responds, as you know, I have an interest in quirk erasing quirks. So he's on a guided tour of our VIP room, and Night Eye quips back, it's like, I guess someone so obsessed with destroying others' quirks would be scared to have his own erased above all else.
Night-Eye, his shade game against Overhaul is pretty darn good in this chapter, actually.
Yes, in fact, he's about to, in this next page, he's about to do something that I don't think is clear, and as soon as I realize what it is, I'm like, how did this fight end like this? So then we see them kind of facing off their closer. He's closed the gap, and he replies, so it's permanent. Are the bullets perfected? And did you use one on Lemillion? And Overhaul's like, I was hoping to sneak away and keep that a secret, but... And then Night Eye is now actually angry and showing emotions, like, you were that scared of Lemillion. And then all of a sudden, Overhaul, and we don't see him like setting up to throw any seals, but then Overhaul, his both of his right arms just explode.
He gets double booshed.
And it's not just, it's like they're the explosion here, like they're getting turned into just blood, reminds me of when his fight with Kappa, or not Kappa, he was so much fun, and I'm blanking on the name, and I feel dumb.
Rappa.
Like, it was, like, it reminds me of that, like, he touches it and it's blood, but this is, he's attacked. It's not him doing this. Unless this is supposed to be him destroying his arms so he can remake them stronger, I don't know, because he remakes them exactly the same. So as far as what I'm guessing happened here, and I'm not going to watch the anime to just tell you what happened here, as I shouldn't have to do that. He destroyed his own arms to remake them exactly the same.
But stronger.
Or he got hit more seals, and the seals are so powerful that they just turned his limbs to blood.
Instantly.
Like, it completely liquefied him. At which, I have to say, how strong is Night Eye? Because he doesn't have any type of strength enhancement. And I'll be honest, Batman is at the... Bruce Wayne is at his physical peak, is probably the peak human condition, and I'm not sure he could do this. I'm not sure Captain America could do this.
He could do this all day, but not this specifically.
but it's just like... I'm just like, I'm sorry, what happened? And then he just Matrix dodges some more.
Whoa.
And then there's just more of a Night-Eye does, there's more of a fight. And then we have Overhaul thinking, these moves aren't particularly fast, but they're really similar. I get it. He's the kid's mentor. And Night-Eye thinks, observe the opponent and react accordingly. And then we flash back to when pretty much Mirio started at the
Night-Eye agency,
or at the very least, maybe not when he started, extremely early on. Maybe not the day he got the job, but potentially the first or second day. And we see that Mary's like, read ahead, but I can't predict the future. And just Night-Eye's like, Good answer. Very funny. Gain experience and learn from it. Rescues, battles, all kinds of hardship, those will become your database. Let me just get a panel filled with words. That's, Mirio, you honored my teachings. You believed what I said and grew stronger. And I'm so proud of you for that. And that's why now I have a clear path. For you and the one you want to protect. And then just there's bouncing, and it's Midoriya, and he gets over to Eerie and Mirio, and he's like, Mirio, can you walk? Can you guys walk? And Mirio's like, yeah, no problem. But after all this, I let her down. And Midoriya's like, let's just get you out of here. And so he breaks another hole in the wall, and he's like, which is really interesting, because the hallway they go down is the same one that they came through. So, or is the same one Mirio came through? So, like, there's some logistics here that I'm just not quite sure match up.
Or he's like, very good at kicking specific spots.
He just made the hole bigger. It's not really clear. And he says he might have sealed it up. With that last attack. Okay, yeah. So he just conveniently sealed it all back up. But this is the route we came by. Yeah, I was right. At the very least, it's safer. Eerie starts pulling on, clutching, Lemillion's costume. And she's like, no, you've done enough. And she thinks, your very, existence is a curse. She's like, I'm so sorry. And then Midoriya grabs both of them and starts running out. And Mira's like, sir. And then we just see just a flashback to a second ago of him dodging. And he's like, Night, I had activated the power of foresight. I just want you to take this part. Just have fun.
We do get Nighteye, and he has activated his power of foresight, as you said. And we get is this Narration Man coming in again to explain?
Yeah, this is Narration Man coming in, and then we're gonna go right from Narration Man into somebody's personal thoughts.
Yeah.
And it's gonna just be consistent.
So
there's not going to be any changeover. We've been using this up until this point, this type of style, to indicate this is somebody's thoughts. This is what they're thinking. And now it's going to be, here's just this random omniscient narrator to explain things. It's not even our normal quirk breakdown, because at least then we, in our minds, we have an idea of what that narrator is.
And we've already had one of them.
Yes, but here we don't have an we just have this omniscient narrator, not anywhere familiar with, and then it's going to bleed right into using the same type of text for internal thought. And this chapter's already as it is, and that just makes it more confusing.
So we first see a little flashback to poor Grumpy Rocklock not being very happy that Nighteye won't peek into his future with his foresight, but Narration Man tells us that the future that Nighteye foresaw never changes, no matter how many times he tries to alter it, and even when he took actions deviating from that future that he did see, after a few minutes at most, the timeline would correct itself, maintaining that consistency, as we see a handy little,
basically splicing in film.
Yes, splicing it all together.
I find this so confusing. I get it.
The motif.
I don't know. I feel like this is poorly worded.
Okay.
Because at least the way I've always interpreted it, which is, by the way, the incorrect way, based on what we get in the story, is that he could change minor things. He could, and we get examples in this next page of how he can delay some things, but it's still going to happen. Mm. Like the example we'll get here is that he saw that he was going to be killed, or he saw that he was going to be injured heavily. But he knows where all the attacks are coming from, so he can delay it a little bit, but it's going to happen.
Eventually.
You could think of it as like, he just took a normal step. He was walking across the street, and when he gets to the curb, he just takes like a normal step up onto the curb and he keeps walking. But instead, he decided to get to the curb and then, just jump up. Like, it's a little thing. It doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things. But he's going over that curb one way or another. He's like, that's the bigger thing. So it's like,
kind of like a butterfly effect.
It was more like he can think of it more like a Doctor Who with a fixed event, like a fixed point. You can change some of the little things around it. You can save maybe a couple people here or there, like, but the big main part of the event is going to happen. Like it's going to happen. It has to happen. It will happen. But let's say like they had one where it was like a mission on Mars where originally it was everybody died, but then, you know, he especially this one person who was really relevant that inspired somebody else to do, like, their granddaughter to do something else that was really important. And this was the event that inspired them. So instead, you had a couple of those people made it back to Earth instead of everybody dying. But that person but that specific person died regardless, and it ended up being the inspiration for this other person. That's how I kind of viewed it. Is you can change some of the minor things, but you can't change the big event. But that's apparently the wrong way to look at it, because you can.
Yes.
Oh, wow. And your favorite chapter in the entire series. Oh, Luke will not stop talking about that one in Volume 18, but we'll get to that
in
a couple of weeks.
We'll cross that bridge eventually. Oh, boy. But yes, we do continue Narration Man. And he says, at some point, maybe he began to believe that the very act of viewing a person's future would set it in stone. Ever since foreseeing All Might's death, he had never taken a peek into anyone else's future.
Which is bull and poorly worded, because it should say extension, like, far into somebody's future.
What about that guy, you know?
Exactly what I'm talking about.
With the dollhouse.
Yep. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
You played yourself, Narration
Man. He absolutely did that. That was into somebody's future. It wasn't far into their future, but it was into their future.
Whoopsie.
And that's why I'm like, oh, this is worded so poorly and so confusingly. It's like he never used his quirk. It's like, well, he's using his quirk on Overhaul right now, so he's never used it since he used it on All Might. The entire point is he's selective with it so that he doesn't waste it. And he's even said, oh, if I had even the thought that Overhaul might have been around here, like out and about, like when they ran into him before, I would have used my quirk on you. If I even thought there was a percentage of a chance that you would run into him, I would have absolutely used my quirk on you. So that you guys, well, you still have to deal with it. You could be prepared. But no, this, he hasn't used his quirk since All Might.
Which was a decent amount of time ago at this stage.
And trying to understand, like, this story has a problem where it's like sometimes it will tell us something at face value, but you never know when it's not face value because of how often it is. So I don't understand.
Faces. For now, he would only allow himself to glimpse just 1 second ahead. Oh, okay. Well, so, you know, 1 second ahead. So
But for now could mean in this instance.
Yeah. Because that last time wasn't 1 second.
I can make that work either way.
Yeah.
And I'm not, and I don't have to try very hard or stretch very hard.
Uh-oh. But when he foresaw a moment when Chisaki would manage to touch him.
Which tells me right now that, yes, he is talking about this exact fight.
This exact moment. He took a different course of action. He knew it was simply delaying the inevitable, but it was the best option he had. Time is all about him, though, because he got shanked right in the belly. Oh, no.
Loses an arm.
It's pretty brutal. Like, I'm not... Ooh.
No, it's pretty brutal, and it's just all very, very frustrating.
Nine-Eye, needing to cling to something, looked into Chisaki's future, as Chisaki has just shanked him, and we see him slapping the ground.
By the way, this has all been the narrator, just to make sure that's clear.
Yes, this is the aftermath of Chisaki landing that attack, pretty much. In the face of defeat, he bet it all on that sliver of hope, on the hope that the girl would be saved and the boys would make it out safely. On a future where Chisaki was beaten and arrested. Black paddle. So, obviously, you know, he's seen some bad things.
And then we get a close-up on Night Eye's eye. His face is covered in blood, and he looks horrified.
Ruh-roh Shaggy moment right there.
And then we immediately see Midoriya, and then Overhaul sending more spikes at him. And then Midoriya stomps the yard and stops him. And then Overhaul thinks in the same type of word bubbles, or the same lack of word bubbles, in the same just floating words as was just the omniscient narrator. I see stomp down onto the ground to throw off my aim. the power, or this power, it's nothing like it was before. Was he not fighting seriously? So in this chapter, you've had this same styling of text be used for internal narration, or like internal like thoughts from a character, then just ominous. Wow.
Them words.
I'm so flustered. Omniscient narrator to then back to internal thoughts. And it's confusing when it stops you. And he's like, Midoriya thinks, my muscles and bones are really grinding. My whole body's screaming out. But I can still move. And he's pretty much left them at the entrance. Like, he has absolutely left them at the entrance to the little passageway he opened up. It doesn't look like they can move or, like, move around, but he's just left them right there. He didn't even take them partway and then double back. And he's like, everything hurts, so I won't last long, but I can move one for all, 20%. And Overhaul says out loud this time, you realize things have only gotten worse since your reinforcements showed up, right? Give it up before you all die, and only manage to prove me right. And Midoriya gets all like protag emo face.
It's cool, though.
And then Shatner is like, I'm not gonna let that happen, even if it's already set in stone. Okay, like that line only works if you knew that Night Eye was using his powers right now.
He's
like, I'll smash right past the future.
Whoa.
And it's like, oh, so you're gonna break the quirk that has literally never been wrong ever to the point where for his over 20-year career at this point? Something like that?
Pretty esteemed career.
Like has been 15 to 20-year career has been like thoroughly tested, and it's never been wrong on any major event. You're going to do that. Okay, you're not setting yourself up for a deus ex machina with that. You're not, Luke. It's not setting up to have a deus ex machina that makes the entire arc feel...
I don't know what you're talking about there, buddy. I don't know what you're talking about at all.
But I sure feel like this little sketch on the page, which is Sun Eater just like trying to get up and all like depressed and sad and injured, and that certainly feels like reading that last chapter. It's appropriate. Next one, please.
Wow. Can I, before we jump into it, can I just run something by you? So,
yes.
So Midoriya goes into 20%.
Mm-hmm.
We were at 8%, right? That was our
He goes from 8 to 20% right here.
And 5% to 8% was pretty significant, right?
He didn't even realize he'd gone up.
Yeah. But like it was still a big...
This makes sense, because 5 to 8 was not enough for him to actively notice in the middle of a fight.
Right.
This is him being like, I need to crank this up.
Yeah. It's pretty nifty that he's just able to, you know, crank on that 20, I suppose.
You know, it would be a lot better if at some point we had seen him training and he'd been like, you know, I can do 20 without, like, my body destroying itself. Like, I can hold 20% for, like, a couple seconds or something. Like, if we'd had any amount of setup for this, like, literally any amount of setup.
That sure would have been a like, nifty
even a passing
situation.
Line somewhere would have been great. But nope, it's just 20%, and it's like, okay. Okay.
Did we get anything, you know, during the whole, you know, when he's training to get, like, the shoot style? Was there anything there about going up percent?
There might have been, but it was all about the fighting style as opposed to, like, how much could he use, because the entire point was, as well, I can only have, like, 7-8%, so let me, you know, get this style, fighting style to work.
It's extremely sudden, is all I'll say. It's quite abrupt. Wow. But yes, the party keeps on going.
It feels like we were trying to go for like a Super Saiyan 2 moment here, like Gohan going Super Saiyan 2,
whoa,
which is without any of the build up. I'm not saying it's exactly that, but I get the feel like were you trying to go for that same kind of hype?
Does that happen
because
in just
there
one
was
panel?
Because there, well, it's not even that it happens in one panel. Is that was the thing in Dragon Ball that had probably the longest setup and then payoff. Like, pretty early on in the Z stuff, like, you set up, oh, Gohan's just super, like, he can snap and go crazy angry. Okay, that was all building to this. Whereas this is just like, okay, we got a new level of power. I know he's saying it's destroying him and he can't do it for very long, but literally any amount of, like, setup would have been great.
My Hero Academia, chapter 155, Saviors, Deceived, and A Hero's Place, written and drawn by Koei Horikoshi, and it was first published in Weekly Shonen Jump issue 45, way back in 2017. And we open with a confusion from every party involved, as we see it's Aizawa in a the lights are out, Mark, because he's got like blindfold or something over his eyes, but he's thinking, where am I? And somebody says, oh, we know all about you. Erase your hero, erase your head. And it's only Mr. Clockhands Crodo with a weird crouch over...
And what's that in his hand?
I have no idea. Oh, is it his belt? Is it, like... Maybe that's
Aizawa's, like... His utility belt? Yeah, no, I think that's his blade in his belt. Okay. I've been looking at that since we were finishing up the last chapter. I've been like, what is that? Okay, that makes sense. It's his equipment.
Maybe. And we do see, he's looming over him, quite literally, with the sound effect. And Crono says, we referenced your quirk quite a bit while doing research on Eri. I've whisked you away without killing you because, well, there's value in keeping you alive. To him, the ability to erase quirks is an appealing one. And we do see here that Aizawa is struggling, but he's very slow. And Crono continues, don't even try it. You're not going anywhere moving at a snail's pace like that. You're worried about the others, huh? And he pops off his little mask just in time for his quirk breakdown.
And I'm taking this because this is a thing that since we started this podcast, it's been a pet peeve of mine.
Here we go.
This is Hari Crono.
Crono.
Quirk Chronostasis. His hair looks like clock hands, which he can shoot to attack. The target he hits becomes slower, but he can only extend his hair when he isn't moving himself. Now, so his quirk is Chronostasis. That's all one word, Chronostasis. Mm. So what Chronostasis, all one word is, it's a mental illusion. So if you've ever had the exercise where with an analog clock, so a ticking clock, you stare at the second hand while it's near like the 12 is typically what they do, and it seems like time slows down and it's not moving or it takes a long time to move, or sometimes it even goes backwards a little bit. That is a mental illusion that can be done called chronostasis. What we have here is not that. This would be more appropriately named chrono, then you have hyphen stasis. Because what type of stasis is it? Time. Chrono. So a chrono stasis. A time stasis.
Are you telling me we have a Spider-Man hyphen situation on our hands here, Mark? Oh my goodness.
No, I'm telling you that that's a proper noun?
Yes.
So it doesn't really matter that much?
Spiders.
But here it's like when it said chronostasis and I first read this, I'm like, what? But isn't it a physical? Yeah, it's a physical thing. That's something else. One, you've named a specific thing that's a mental illusion. And the other thing would be a type of stasis, which this is. And that's always pissed me off. I know that seems like a minor thing, but they're two completely different things. I guess they're not completely different because they both have elements of time in it, but still.
Time adjacent, yes.
It's always bothered me because it's like, that's not what that is.
You want to know what I want to know about all this? I want to know, how does he get a haircut exactly? Because I know a lot of us wish we could get haircuts right now, but with those two hands... I don't know how he does it, but...
Are those even hair?
Aren't those even hair?
So, I mean, it says it's hair. It says his hair looks like it, but it's at that point, is it hair? Like, so he controls hair, and then the hair does... It's very weird. Also, when it says he's not moving, does that mean he's not breathing? I don't know. You've put a pretty large, thing around this, and the name of the quirk doesn't help us because it's spelled incorrectly.
If he grows, like, a beard, does he get, like, little clock hair?
Mm-hmm.
What about armpit hair?
It's like this entire arc wasn't thought out particularly well.
it was the clock hands that did it in the end. Oh my goodness. No, it was really far, far before that. Oh no. But he does say, now you've been stabbed with the short hand. You'll be like that for an hour, apparently. So he's slowing down for an hour. Once he decides something, and this he that Crow keeps on saying is Overhaul.
Obviously. Also, this is just a gradient panel.
With two bubbles. At least we get two bubbles. Once he decides something, nothing can stop him. I'm not sure how much you already know, but Eri is the big boss's daughter. Bomb drop.
And I'm like, oh my god, Solid Snakes has a sister?
Oh my goodness! If only. Overhaul will use whatever and whoever it takes to achieve his goals. That's the sort of man he is. And then whoosh!
Also, Big Boss could absolutely take Overhaul. Overhaul's a punk.
You can Overhaul ain't doing nothing. It's Tuesday morning. Oh my goodness. Big Boss has that wrapped up in time for lunch. Oh my goodness.
It might give him some trouble if all he has is his pistol, but he'd take care of this pretty quick. Because he's big freaking boss.
He's big freaking boss. Oh my goodness. Yes, whoosh. We are back.
And it'd be even done even faster with Solid Snake. Point is that
whoosh.
I want to play Metal Gear Solid now.
Solid Snake. Metal
Gear Files.
Oh. You got to imagine that already exists though, right? I don't know.
I don't know. But you know what we do get as we snap back to reality?
Oh.
Eminem. We get destroyed ground. Midoriya's seeing it. And then we get something super fun. We get thought bubbles from Overhaul. And then from Overhaul, like immediately after it, we get just floating words that are thoughts of his. And it's like, why? This is like mixing metaphors. It's like, why use both? Pick one. And even just pick one for a single page.
Why not
like,
both?
It's frustrating. Because he thinks he knows I can't control the disconnected fragments. He's using them as walls, and I'm like, that's not what I'm getting from this. What I'm getting from this is Midoriya's looking at a destroyed area, and then Midoriya's charging forwards recklessly. That's what I get from what I'm seeing here. I'm being told different. This is all Overhaul thinking. And then all he thinks is, clever boys, he attacks out, and Midoriya gets, like, hit or close dodge, something. All I know is that I'm like, that what you're telling me and what I'm seeing are completely different. It's like, oh, he's using the stuff as cover, as we see him without any cover, running straight up the center.
Like a madman, running.
Yeah, like, it just like, what is going on? Because there's a disconnect, like a massive disconnect between the art and the writing.
You could kind of think that maybe he's dodging in between, but you can't get that in one panel.
There's not even anything for him to be behind.
Yeah.
And the angle he's moving at shows straight movement.
Oh boy. Clever boy, Mark.
That's the motion, by the way, is showing that he's running forward. It's not like something where you see him in between a dodge. It's like, no, he's just running straight recklessly forward, and we're being told that, no, he's actually like dodging behind things, and I'm like, that is not what's happening.
And it's very difficult to, even if that was the case, very difficult to portray that in just a panel, you know?
Even last chapter, he stomps the ground, he causes some rubble to go up, then he starts charging straight forward, and then we see him continuing to charge straight forward, and then we're told, no, he's dodging. So, whatever, I guess. Apparently it doesn't matter enough for Horikoshi to show us the same thing that he's writing about. And then Midoriya thinks, I think I got the timing down for his disintegration attacks, but I can't dodge quick enough. And I'm like, got the timing down? What? Sorry, what? You've had two clashes with him? And I'm stretching to call this a clash. No, there's been three. There's been three clashes with him. There's when he got in there. There's when he tried to do the pillar, or when he tried to impale his head.
Oh, yeah. That worked.
And then there's this, and maybe another one that I'm just so annoyed that I'm forgetting. The point is, it's like, I figured it out. It's like, no, you haven't. Like, you're telling us you have, but you've not – you've shown us him launching attack at you twice. This isn't Saint Seiya. This isn't, oh, I'm a – you know, I'm one of Athena's, you know, knights. You can't, like, I've seen your attack before.
Oh, my goodness.
It's not going to work on me again.
He takes them notes, Lars.
It's just literally he saw him do two different massive attacks, and he's like, I know everything about it. I'm just not fast enough to react to it. It's – I don't know. Like,
clever
it just
boy.
Doesn't feel right.
Clever boy. okay, but you know, he's got to hold on until he's down for the count, because Chisaki's not letting up, as we see Chisaki reach for him.
Well, you say that, but then Midoriya stomps the yard again, and just crashes to the ground,
yes.
And then he's like, gotta hold on, until he's down for the count, and then, yeah, Chisaki grabs him, he's like, because Chisaki's not letting up, and then he jumps away, and then he's like, gauntlet is destroyed, and I think the implication here, because there's a flick, that, like, his gauntlet was tagged when he jumped, but... I don't know, like, there's just something about the art here that doesn't make that feel right, and it just feels like it just exploded, and it's like, I'm sorry, what?
Is Midoriya using, like, a flick to knock himself back down here, or is that, like, is he kicking himself back down? Or is he using...
Oh, no. So what's coming with... Okay, this next part makes complete sense, actually. Okay. It was just the part where the gauntlet is just destroyed, and I'm like, I'm sorry. Like, did he get touched? You didn't really show that.
Right.
You just showed a movement line, and then a person behind him, like, not even getting to him, and then a flick motion, and then it's like, I can't tell if that's supposed to be him getting touched or whatever. But no, it's he's bounced up. He's bounced straight up, and he's pivoted himself in the air, so then he can push off... The pipes up above, so that he can come in with a spinning axe or with an axe kick.
Okay.
So that part makes complete sense. It's just the gauntlet thing. I'm like, okay, like, to be in the position that you're showing, like, I'm trying to think. It's like, okay, so he's jumping up. Like, you've chosen a very awkward panel position to show us the gauntlet breaking, and it's not even clear that it broke, and then he comes in with the axe kick, the very telegraphed axe kick.
It's cool, though.
And then he's like, he's not giving, and then Overhaul thinks he's not giving up on Eerie, even if it cost him his own life. And then is this Midoriya? Is this Night Eye? Somebody thinks, I can't let this drag out. He'll just keep healing himself over and over. Gotta get him, hit him in one shot. Yeah, it's Midoriya.
It's Midoriya.
It's Midoriya. It's just, we see Night Eye. It's just like, what is happening? And he comes down and he's like, he thinks to himself, one blow to the head, Manchester smash. And he does it, and Overhaul just dodges.
Very
just
like,
dodges.
Like, really, all the excitement of a smash. We haven't had a smash in ages, and it's he just dodged it like that. So,
well, this part I don't have a problem. This part is like, is one of the parts I don't have a problem with. As we kind of point out, because like Midoriya's like, oh no, and Overhaul's like, you might be fast, and then he starts like using the like it's. You know, sending out more spikes in Midoriya. He's like, but compared to the other two, I can easily see you coming a mile away. Pointing out the fact, like, so you have the other two who have very refined skills, like
techniques.
Combat skills.
Yes,
they have, if not mastered, like they have been properly trained on how to fight hand to hand. Like we saw it, just the fact that Night Eye was even able to keep up. The fact that. Lobillion just absolutely destroyed him. He couldn't, and I have to assume that Chisaki has gotten hand-to-hand training or like fight training on some level. He was part of the Yakuza, even with his quirk. But it's something where it's like, you know, you have two professionals, and then you have this amateur who, once again, has never really been trained. He just kind of jumps around and does things. He telegraphs basically everything he does. And that's a legitimately good part of this, is that bites him in the butt. Like, if he didn't telegraph so much, he might have been able to pull this off and end it right here.
Or at least if he didn't rush in like he is
well,
right
not,
now.
Not even the rush in. If if it was something where he could have done this without giving it away, like an attack of this level.
But he doesn't have that skill.
He didn't have the skill, because something like this, you can't just go for. You could do this, like knock him back, and then while he needs to turn around, you're already above him, and before he could even move, like as he's turning to see and trying to move, you're already on top of him. But it's just he's such a novice that it bites him. And I legitimately like that aspect here. It's like, nah, you're fast, but you're nothing in a fight. Like, you're not as good of a fighter as those other two by a lot. And Midoriya takes a hit. And we just see blood and
it's pretty scary battle.
And I'm like, well, the thing is that to that, I'm like, oh, thank God.
It's finally over.
I'm like, oh, yes. Midoriya is dead. Midoriya is dead. We can move on. No, that's not how I actually feel. But I'm like, but the problem is that I've been so unhappy with Midoriya up to this point. I'm not horrified. I'm like, good.
Oh, well.
He's not going to die. He's the pro tag.
I mean,
good. He'll learn from this. Maybe somebody will get character development.
That's that a I big don't hate. Grim.
I don't know. I'm so upset with it.
Wow. Spicy.
And then we see the damage he took later on, and I'm like,
yeah, it doesn't
where did
make
all
correlate.
Of this blood come from? Like, it's. I mean, we'll get to it, but it's. He did take a solid hit.
Oh yeah.
He got a little bit. He got yes. It's an impalement in the arm. Like he got a little bit of a spike in the arm.
And the leg.
But this is more blood than this is like the same level of blood we see in like the Night Eye, who's lost an arm and impaled. Like
in a bad way.
It's like a fake out in the middle of the chapter, yeah. And then we cut away.
And you really do feel like it's like that. You know, that fake out tension.
Especially because we just had the setup of like, oh yeah, Midoriya's dead.
And then like cut away straight away. So yeah, it feels a little cheap maybe. But
that's the way of putting it.
Huff, huff, Mark. Huff, huff indeed. We're going to blow the house down. Because Mirio is struggling here. Understandably so.
And where are all the police? Like where are all the people that were coming with them?
They were just down the hallway. Like, are they tying their shoelaces?
I know we end up, I believe, running into them with Rappa and Fat Gum and all those guys right. In the next volume, but there's absolutely no reason none of them that all of them should not have come with. Like, or that, sorry, that literally any amount of the police should not have accompanied them.
Or
like,
at
some
least
should
nearly
have.
There at this stage. Like, the fight's been going on for a decent amount of time. I know that the heroes are fast and all, but. Come on,
but,
fellas!
Like, what the heck?
Come on, fellas!
The thing is, we don't even know how quickly time passes, because there are times where we're told 5 minutes have gone by or 10 minutes have gone by, and it's just confusing. But yes, Mirio, Eerie in the hallway, nobody there to find them. None of this help they keep talking about. None of this help actually shows up from this hallway. It's really interesting how all of the police seem to have completely abandoned what they were doing, at least as of what we know right now. But it feels very noticeable.
It was lunchtime, you know? Gotta pop down and get soup in the
lunchtime.
Day.
20 minutes haven't gone by. We're before like 10 in the morning.
You can't police on an empty stomach now, Mark. You know this.
Answer my comment.
Big Cheerios. Okay, so Mirio's here, and he's feeling it right now. He's remembering that time that he saw his mentor just get shish kebab right in front of him. Yikes. And he's thinking, keep moving, Lemillion. But Narration Man informs us that, however, Lemillion's indomitable spirit was coming apart at the seams. And Eri's sad. And Lemillion falls to his knees with a whirp. And he's thinking, well, he says, huff, huff, vision blurry, can't move, he thinks. The bleeding stopped, but I've lost too much blood already. Gugur, says the sound effect. Huff, stand, get up, keep going. Ellipses, exclamation mark.
We forgot to mention how on the last page we had the narration without the thought bubbles, and then we have the narration with the thought bubbles, and then we have an omniscient narrator.
Still, it's still happening.
All in one page.
It's still happening. But
granted, now the omniscient narrator is now in the boxes.
But Lemillion is desperate here, and he says, Eri, find somewhere to hide. Backup will be here soon, after their lunch break. Dozens of people are on their way. Justice.
Wait, it's not even 10:30. It's not even 10. It's probably Where are they on lunch?
Maybe it's just tea. Maybe they need biscuits. Just to save you. And then he says, Eri, it's all good. You're going to be just fine. Eri! And, you know, it's he's struggling. And I think this scene actually in the anime is really...
Really
heartbreaking.
This scene felt like an apology for not doing him justice earlier in, like, in his actual fight in the anime. Yeah. Like, it's like, oopsies.
It's sad.
Oh, we might have done goofed.
It's sad. It's
by focusing on the movie completely.
Oh, boy. But, yeah, bad stuff. So then we see, we're back to Overhaul, and he says, ugh, sure, I can heal myself, but it still hurts when I blow myself apart.
Yeah, whatever, Wolverine.
Bub. And then Midoriya.
That would have been hilarious.
Midoriya got shanked in the arm and in the leg. He didn't die, though.
Which still doesn't explain where the blood came from.
From his arm? But, like, that's low. I don't know.
From where he was, like, the arm... Like, and how he jumps, I'm not sure the arm... I can't guarantee you that the arm was ahead of him or anything. Point is it feels very, like...
Would it spray up towards his
head? I'm not sure it would anime geyser of blood at his face. No, I'm not sure it would.
I'm confused. But he says, which is really how we're all feeling right now. And then he says, not yet. And he thinks, if I hadn't split the ground into all these little bits... He would have finished me off with a master spike. He already did a little bit of damage with two. And then Overhaul is back on his feet and he says, Lumillion was just as tenacious. The potential of those who refuse to give up sure is something. But Midoriya's thinking,
But then why don't you give up?
This is Overhaul thinking now.
So. Well, I'm saying he's like, the potential of those who refuse to give up sure is something. And I'm like, well, then why don't you give up? Oh. Like, if you're back talking them. I know you're basically, this is an underhanded compliment effectively, but you shut up.
Game respects game in a weird way, I suppose. But Overhaul is thinking, it's precisely because they put themselves on the brink of death that they become bait. And then his hand talks with the bait because he says, this will be another death on your hands. Is that what you really want, Eri? And then Midoriya's like, ugh! And then Eri's like, uh-oh, bad times. Because is this a memory from Eri or a memory from Over? This is a memory from Eri. Because
it's a memory from Eri, but it's from a third person perspective.
Well, like, it turns into first person when it gets really scary, when the hand's coming. You know, if that's like her perspective, it's been messed up. But
and then we find out that she actually has super speed.
well, first we get the flashback, and
yes.
She's reached her limit. Her body can't take anymore, apparently. And then Overhaul is just like, it's time to break down the Lego set and build something new. Because it's time to reset.
No, it's time to break down the Lego set and rebuild it.
And start fresh. Yikes. First person mode hand action. It is spooky. And then, and before Mirio can even stop her, she's already at the scene.
What are you talking about? Before Mirio can even stop her, we get a panel that is blank except for just the words I and then an ellipses. And then we see Mirio turning like, no, don't go. And then we see that Eri is already back. So either when we saw, because they were a little ways away. They were a bit of a ways away.
About halfway down the hallway.
Yeah. She has in that instant, like hearing that, because Midoriya hasn't moved or anything, and nothing else, she is... arrives back at the entrance of the little passageway to be like, I don't want this, and I'm just like, I'm sorry, that was really fast. Like,
well, I mean, like, you know, it is a important moment for her to be there quick to tell her to stop doing that, I suppose, but yeah, she could either
that or Midoriya just sat there for a couple seconds
taking it in,
staring down the enemy,
but yeah, she says, I don't want this. And then Midoriya's like, why? Stay back! Don't be here, obviously. Stay with Mirio, Eri. Oh my goodness. And Overhaul says, Eri, look at him. Fighting all alone. You think he's gonna win somehow? And then Eri says, I don't. And
we see that he's used the quirk. Is this him retroactively using the quirk? Or is this him saying, like Nemoto's quirk, because he's definitely in the next panel using it. Like, in that case, what should you do? And she says, go back with you. But then she adds something to this as she's walking past, and we see Night Eye just bleeding out. And then as she's walking by, she says, and in exchange, you make everyone better again. And Overhaul's not having any of this. He's like, that's right. Instead of letting all these people get hurt, it's way easier to just take the pain yourself. Lemillion was still giving her hope. And now he's turned to Midoriya with this. Lemillion was still giving her hope. But that faint hope he gave her is now crushed. Haven't you figured it out yet? What Eri considers a burden, she doesn't want your help. And then Midoriya has a little minor flashback thing, and he thinks, like, panel, and he's like, as I thought, one for all should have gone to Mirio.
That's
Midoriya thinking, and then, you know, that's Midoriya having that flashback thinking that.
Yeah.
And then Night Eye thinks, Midoriya, there's no changing fate now. We won't manage to secure Eri. And at this point, all I can think is, like, okay, well, if you can't survive, then give Mirio your quirk.
Well, you know, Mirio's still in the hallway. You know, he's having problems.
I'm sure that the quirk will understand and then give you your power back after the threat's gone.
Maybe. But then blood, I've seen it
just
all.
Blood splatter.
A future where you and I are killed and Chisaki escapes. This is Night Eye, so he's down.
Internal narration.
But then, a hand says, so what? Because Midoriya is ripped out the... Or not even ripped out. He's just smashed those... he's pulled out the like little rock chunks that had impaled him in the leg and the arm.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Did he... he ripped it out with his damaged hand.
That's... Ooh.
Yeah, that's a right hand. He ripped it out with the damaged hand.
Hardcore.
The one in the leg.
Absolute madman.
I don't know why you would do that. You have another hand. That's fine. That's right there.
Yeah, it's
closer just, even.
Chilling. Even if we're not butting in here when we're not wanted, you're crying, Eri. So no one's dying today. I'm going to save you. As he smashes it in his hand. Oh my goodness. And Night Eye seen better days. And he's thinking, Midoriya, try as you might, you... And then there's a big rumble, and everybody looks up and says, well, what's going on? And then we turn the page for the last of three double page splashes. We're putting out, we've had back-to-back double page splashes here, which has been pretty cool. But the final one is the big crescendo moment with a big zoom. Big Cheerios is back in action, and the girls are here as well. Ryukyu, Uraraka, and Sue. I don't see Nedry anywhere. She's probably off having that lunch break. I don't know. But apparently it's Bullseye.
Well, she can fly, so she might be up above.
Yeah, she's probably just vibing up there. But we see Bullseye. The girls have done it, and a ribbit, and they're all here, and Midoriya is super surprised.
And thank God they cut in, because, oh my God, like, something else. Thank you. It legitimately feels like it's like, I don't know how to end this whole interaction, so I'm just going to literally throw people in from the ceiling.
Remember, these guys literally falling in.
Falling in and just improving the entire chapter with just their presence, because it's something different.
I mean, you're not wrong. But yes, that is the end of chapter 155. We've had some opinions. Mark, what do you think of 154?
154? 5-5.
Okay.
It's the art is fine.
Yes.
Mostly. There's definitely problems. The narration part's a problem. The narration and the internal stuff. I couldn't justify going lower because I do legitimately like some of the moments, even if they're harder to understand. There's others that are hard to understand. I do like, especially the page where he realizes, oh, we're all about to die. And there's enough like hype and interesting things in here, despite all the problems, that I think it's just barely above passable, but I wouldn't write home to that. I wouldn't be like, yay, I did barely above average, and that's only because it was like, well, there's some interesting things that happen. How about you?
6.2. Yeah, I agree with a lot of what you have to say, to be honest. Like, it's you know, I don't even think, it's not really satisfying. Like, it's, of the two chapters, I don't like this as much as chapter 155.
No, the next chapter, even minus that last page, is a better chapter, but it's still not great.
I don't know. You think the Night Eye fight with Overhaul would be a little more popping.
But then you start questioning, it's like, well, if he can literally destroy this man's arms with his seals, did he just run out of seals? Like, yeah. His entire plan was to use the seals, or appears to be have used the seals to corner him so he can get in close and he can fight him hand to hand, which I'm not saying is a bad thing,
makes
but
sense.
it's like if like, why are you using the seals on the, like, I don't know. It's a confusing fight scene.
Yeah, like the choreography of the fight itself doesn't really blow me away. And then you get like, while I do agree with you, while I do like, I think that page when he realizes the game done changed, then like, that's good. I really like that. But like the whole, like, the explanation of his, like, oh, you know, narration man popping in here for a bit, taking the mic, and then it all being explained but still having the thought, it's a bit messy. We've covered how it's all messy throughout, but and then you get the end, and 20% seems like a bit of a reach for me. I know, like, you know, he's able to activate it for a short time if he really tries, and I don't know, it just feels like a bit of a leap compared to what we've already got in this series, when it should be, you know, like, oh my goodness, a hype moment, it's really like, really, it feels like a reach more than anything else. You know, so he's going to smash right past that future, so there you go. 6.2 out of 10. A bit underwhelming, to be honest. Mark, what would you think of chapter 155?
5.9. I can't bring myself to give it a solid,
really?
6. Ooh. Yeah, no. I mean, and not even just my pet peeve with the chronostasis thing.
Okay.
But we have a page where we have thought bubbles into internal narration that's just floating. We have a really confusing fight. The one part of the fight that I thought was pretty clear, I legitimately like, because it shows how much of a novice Midoriya is. But like, no, we're told at one point that he's planned ahead. He knows, he's figured out that I can't manipulate things that basically have been detached from the ground. Like, and he's dodging back and forth as we clearly see him running straight on. And then everything about the interaction implies that he ran straight forward because he's in the straight center, because all of his movements are forward. So there's that annoying disconnect. Then there's the fake out with the blood. Then there's just Eerie being a speedster all of a sudden, as good as that scene is. And then we just have them standing around, stuff going on. Like, it's just like, oh, Ares back. Great. Where are the police? Where's literally any of their help that was right behind them? And then Midoriya's like, nah, I'm going to save the day. And then the ceiling crashes in with the others, and I'm like, okay, there was some interesting thing there. You did some things well. You did most of it poorly, but you did do some things well.
Don't you think that those cool splashes get at least a 6?
Not only the last one. Maybe. I don't like the other ones, honestly. I think they're
If Nedry,
it's not a bit busy.
I kind of like the contrast you have, because you have the same layout for both the Overhaul page and the Midoriya page. I kind of like that, you know, here's our hero, here's our villain, and the panels on the sandwiching them on both sides. I think that's pretty interesting.
No, they're definitely different. I mean, I get what you're going for. They're definitely not quite the same, but it's going for that parallel. But I haven't liked the parallel works that they've been doing in this volume, in these chapters, in this fight. So I'll be honest, I don't care.
It don't work for you. It don't work for you.
It doesn't not work in this case, but it's not like anything that I'm writing home about, unlike this last page where I'm like, oh my God, something different. Thank God.
No letters being sent home today. That's nah. That's most definitely sure out of these chapters. Oh boy. But yes. Okay, I'm going to go with a 6-7 because... Oh, he got me in the feels, Mark. So that's he gets away with it this time, I suppose. I would have got away with it too if it wasn't for that pesky Mirio page.
It wasn't from those pesky emotions.
Oh my goodness! Like really, you know when he's just trying his hardest, and he's on his knees, and he's just get shish kebabbed right in front of him. And he's just like, aw.
Was he around for that?
He did. I think he does see it.
Yeah, he did see that.
Yeah, which is really like, on top of all the nasty stuff.
Yeah, he did see that.
All the nasty stuff that happened last week. Then he sees this. I would be feeling it. And he certainly is. And it's very sad, you know. And then Eri comes in. And then she drops that bomb. And I think it is a nice touch. And it's something that you pointed out, and you would miss it on your first read, that if you're not really looking at it, at least, or looking for it, but the activation of Nemoto's quirk here for Eri.
I wonder if it's even using his voice, like, I just don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, I'd have to check the anime, I can't remember.
Now that would be a thing I'd be willing to check the anime.
The fact that it's using the hand, at least. Yes. The masked hand. So it's a possibility. But even if it doesn't really make sense that she speed forced over here super quick, just that like that line. Do you think he's gonna win somehow? And then just the truth bomb. I don't. And then,
but we're not even sure. I mean, I'll be honest. It doesn't really matter which way. Like if it was using the Moto's quirk or not, it was still like ugh. Like, I'll admit, that just like, oh, you don't have confidence in him. Oh.
Just Midoriya's eyes. Oh, it's devastating. Like, absolutely. Like, really, like, oh, gosh, you really feel bad. But you just feel bad for him. You feel bad for Midoriya. You feel bad for Eri. Poor Alvirio is feeling it in the hallway. It's no good. Nine-Eye's feeling it in his belly right now.
I'm not sure he's conscious at the moment.
He's having big troubles. But, yeah, like, you know, so... I will admit, like, you know, it's messy. You do have that fake out with Midoriya with the blood, and like that's cheap. But the feels got me good, and I actually really do like those splashes at the end, with the contrast, and finally, Redemption falls in from the ceiling, from the heavens, Mark. The girls.
Is it
here.
Redemption or is it just something new?
Salvation. Just get us
That's appropriate.
Get us out of this mess, Ryukyu, please. And so, you know, hopefully, well, some entertainment next week. But yeah, you know, out of the two, I like this one more. 6.7. And maybe hope is on the horizon. Dare I say it, Mark? Oh my goodness, we've been feeling it these last couple of weeks. But yes, that is the end of Hero Notes. It's been, once again, a roller coaster ride of emotions. Volume 17 is really, you know, it's putting us through the ringer right now, Mark. I think we are sure going to be glad when we see the back of this volume. And it's sad to say, because up until now, we've really been enjoying this arc. You know, Volume 14, Volume 15, we couldn't get enough of those. That Falcon fight, that was so good, Mark. Why can't we just go back to that? Oh, boy. But, yes, that is the end of the show. So, Mark, why don't you tell all the listeners out there where it is exactly that they could perhaps find us on the internets?
You can find us on Twitter, primarily. Specifically, you can find me on Twitter at ChalionX. That's at ChalionX. They can find you, Luke, on Twitter at LJ_Hollywood. And you can find the podcast on Twitter at HeroNotesPod. And if you would like to share this podcast with friends, family, the random person whose Animal Crossing town you went to because they had really high turnip prices,
ooh,
you can find the podcast on Podbean, Stitcher, and iTunes.
Indeed. And if they would like to email the podcast for, of course, any hero notes, or vigilante. You see, I had that vigilante log already in my head. So I already had that L sound ready to go.
It's like you're enjoying that series a little more right at the moment.
I honestly do not know what you're implying. Oh, Volume 3 is crispy. Oh, you know Makoto... Man, you know
yeah, Makoto. I also know that you're like, I don't want to talk about the main book right now, so I'm going to gush over the vigilantes. Just saying.
All your hero notes and
religious what?
Vigilante log related.
There we go.
Queries of the sort, whatever you would be wanting to type into a mail. We will be sure to read it. But yes, that is the end of the show. I'm breaking down. Every second goes, we're having more troubles here. So I'm going to tell everybody listening right now to make sure that they go beyond Plus Ultra Style in all it is that they're doing in this crazy, crazy world that we are currently living in. And to stay tuned for the next episode of Hero Notes.
Same hero time.
Same hero channel.